Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello. All of us at Ambridge on the Couch just wanted to say how sorry we were to hear about the death of Owen Kiffin, who passed away very suddenly this week. He was a regular listener and a lovely contributor. And more than that, he was a friend, and we talked to him about all kinds of things, not necessarily Ambridge-y. And he used to make us laugh because he said that every time he listened to us, it seemed to coincide with him entering the emptying the septic tank on his boat. His boat was called Pipsqueak, and he said that he wished he hadn't called it that after discovering that that was David's pet name for Pip, who he couldn't stick. He was a really lovely chap, and it's such a shock that he's gone. And our thoughts go out to his family and friends.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch. I was just saying, it feels weird doing it on a Saturday. We usually do this on Friday night, and it's mid afternoon on a Saturday. We should all really be having a nap,
yeah,
shouldn't we?
Yeah.
We'll get to that shortly. Just to say, welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Jeff Thomas, our executive director, Cooper, and a very poorly Lucy V. Freeman. poor old Lucy.
Not a pantomime, Harriet.
I know, but there'll be a big collective no, because you've just bounced back. From your pulmonary explosion.
Yes.
Straight into COVID.
Yes.
Because you probably picked it up at the hospital.
Yes. That is quite irritating, isn't it?
So you can hear Lucy's...
It's poetic injustice is what it is. I'm going to complain to someone. I'm not sure who. I'll find someone. I'll write a stern letter or possibly an online petition. I don't know. Dear... No, the government's too busy trying to... have match of the day run parliament or whatever's going on now. I've lost track completely. I can't tell what's hallucination now because of my temperature and what's actually happening. It's just too bizarre.
I've had to sort of zone out of the BBC stuff because, I mean, Rufus has just been talking. He's so, like, delighted and excited and finds it hilarious. I do voiceovers. So... if anybody wants to hire me, I'm not good at commentary, but I can read a script fast.
Are you good at football?
Well, I've been to a couple of matches.
Okay.
And I know it's not called the interval.
Right.
And I know that you don't have to necessarily wait for the whistle to start it.
Yes. And it's not a court, it's a pitch. I found that out.
Exactly. And we're not the audience.
No.
We're the, I don't know what we are, the viewers. The fans. Fans.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I know
don't go upstage left. Look, the defender's moving upstage left.
But I could just talk really fast into a microphone.
Mm.
If someone else told me what to say.
Yes.
It's probably a bit late. I think they're not having anyone, are they? No, they were going to have commentary and
they probably have Graham Norton. He does most things.
No, but he can't get behind. The thing is, you're doomed if you...
Yeah.
Do,
because you're a scab.
You? Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why it's so exciting.
Well, they have to find somebody that doesn't care then, like Toby Young, who's just Elon Musk, he'd do it.
Lawrence Fox.
Yeah, just exactly. Just somebody who likes the attention and doesn't give a shit and actually revels in the more people hate him, the happier he is.
How about Katie Hopkins, Lucy?
I saw she was trending on Twitter and I just dared look to find out why. I thought, no, not now, Katie Hopkins. Not
God.
Now.
Anyway, back to you, Lucy. But you, I just before anyone thinks Lucy should be in bed, she should be in bed because she's really ill. But and I didn't, Lucy. I gave the option to bow out, didn't I?
She said, "Look, have an ass." This is literally what she said to me just now. I would just take a paracetamol and I'd be fine.
What's it talking about you? I was saying, this is what I would say if it was a member of my family.
She was talking about how unsympathetic she was when people in her family are ill.
But if it's a friend, then you can be nice to them. There's just something about a member of your family being ill that makes
it's inconvenient
you
and annoying.
Resent them a lot. Not necessarily a child, but if it's your husband. I
already give you more than enough attention. You're not having any more. You've had your allotted.
Oh, gosh. We're going to have lots of coughing breaks, aren't we?
Sorry. Yes,
no,
I will edit
that. No, you don't. Lucy, you don't need to apologise
for the reason the reason I'm doing it, even though I am slightly incoherent, is because we are off next week when no doubt I will have contracted smallpox or something because Harriet is skiing again. Taking her cold sores up a mountain for the second time.
They've just healed over, just in time for them to be cracked open again at the weekend. Can I just explain? This was, yes, it is another skiing holiday, but it's so embarrassing. It's just like a like a girly one, basically. It's like this weekend.
You know, I mean. People don't realise the effect of the cost of living crisis. I've only been able to go skiing twice this year.
Stop it. I'm so embarrassed. I can't tell anyone. I had to tell my agent that it's for like a big, what did I say, a big 40th, because I was too embarrassed to say I'm just going skiing again.
It's a big 40th on a slope. It's quite slippy. Slippy 40th on a slope.
I just couldn't get out of it. I just couldn't get out of it, guys. I had to book my flight. Anyway, so yeah, sorry about that. But I think it's good because it gives you time to, once you're fully recovered, which you will be next week, hopefully,
then you can just
have a weekend off.
Yes.
Or go to York like you were supposed to.
Yeah, no, I've got my mother.
I've got my mother next weekend, and then I'm going
to Jersey because it is... Oh. Mr. Newby's 50th birthday.
No way.
Yes, and I'm taking him to Jersey to celebrate.
Wow.
By looking at pictures of the war, which he will like very much.
Oh, you have to do all that stuff with bunkers and stuff.
Yes,
all
I
those
quite
bunkers.
Like all that,
oh, do you? Oh, that's good.
Apart have from you the done evacuees, that? Which just make me sob and I can't stop.
Oh, but... no, it's awful. It's awful. Mm. Have you done the Normandy, all that on the Normandy beaches?
He has, I haven't.
But why did you choose Jersey? I mean, it's a really nice place, isn't it? But it's not going to be hot, is it?
No, I just thought it was interesting for him because there are a lot of things there that he likes to do.
Oh, that'll be great. Cool. Okay, well, we'll have a lot to talk about. How exciting. I hope you're blimming well then. Just have lots of rest.
Yes, okay
just
then.
Lucy, just a bit of Nurofen. I really recommend Nurofen Express. Pop, like, two of those.
I'll pull myself together.
Yeah. You just pull yourself together. Come on, love. Come on. You've already had COVID.
Yeah, I know. It's quite vintage, isn't it, getting it twice?
I wasn't sure. Actually, to be fair, I know a lot of people who've got COVID at the moment or claim they've got COVID at the moment. No, but there's probably a big wave going round.
Yes.
Hello. I'm back.
I am at the forefront of it. Oh. Yes.
I think I'd quite like your voice, actually. You're like new Kate.
I was thinking I sounded a bit Kate. This morning I sounded like Barry White, so it's gone up considerably since this morning.
Where did we get to?
The monologue.
Off you go. So let me give you a proper intro.
I'll rev myself up.
Now, before we make a start on your emails... We're going to go gently. Let's have a gentle recap on what happened this week. Can you manage this?
Yeah.
In
Doctor Theatre, darling. Doctor Theatre.
Go for it, darling.
We began the week with Ben and Josh stomping around a field talking about chickens, which would be very satisfying to anyone newly listening to The Archers, as it is exactly how people who don't listen think it must be all the time.
Yes.
Adam and Ian were schlepping Xander around trying to find someone who wouldn't move fast enough to avoid being landed with him. It's sort of like musical chairs, but with toddlers. You held him last, you've got him, and now we take the car away. Bye! Brian has turned his cottage into a bring and buy sale. I couldn't understand why in the world he would want Jennifer's clothes. Was he planning on dressing up at a Jean in Jennifer's hat so he could chat to it and ask her advice on ties? Adam then fussily took over the abandoned wardrobe and left Xander playing on the bypass while he sorted out 700 pairs of loafers and a shitload of aquascutum. The Aldridges then all squabbled away about who had ownership of some teeth. It was like a sort of macabre Christmas stocking. Heads and teeth. Grim. It was enforced fun and it was horrendous to listen to. And surely a christening gown is handed down, so you wouldn't have your own one anyway. Could we please let Jenny darling go now? I'm starting to feel queasy every time I hear an Aldridge speak. Lily is moving in with Josh at the stables. I think the fact that Lily used the term square indicates more firmly than anything else that she is absolutely more square than SpongeBob SquarePants. She also suggested some parties and what I heard was gay nights, but turned out to be game nights, which was a little disappointing. She'd already started bossing Josh about. She'd only had one beer. Ben was fine about it all as he decided to live at Brookfield for now so he can prevent his father polishing the worked up with his long johns. And Josh became nostalgic. We had some fun times here, didn't we, Ben? He said. Like that time Rory punched you in the face. The rest of the week seemed to be a frantic search for a roommate for the stables. Why is Lily having a say in who moves in?
What's he going to do with her?
If Josh wants a narcissistic chef to move in, why shouldn't he?
Yeah.
Lily broke it to her mama that she was finally leaving. Auntie Shula had blown the gaff, obviously, because even when she's left the show, she still manages to put her size 6 in it. Lily felt she still hadn't got over Russ. Lily felt she still hadn't got over Russ. And Elizabeth told her that everyone broke up differently and healed at different speeds. And I thought, yes, look at Lizzie herself. One minute she was totally furious with her boyfriend for rowing with her brother. Then she was furious with her boyfriend for being mean to her brother. Then she was forcing her boyfriend to have a reconciliation dinner with her brother. And now the boyfriend has just completely disappeared and she never mentions him.
Oh, over at Bridge Farm,
Helen was worried that the electric charging station would bring more cars into the area. But at least it gives them the option of leaving again. Otherwise, they'd come into the village, conk out and walk home, leaving abandoned Teslas all over the shop. This led Helen to have her own bonkers idea, obviously. A viewing panel so that the gawping public can survey the team making cheese. When Helen says the team, she means Clary and Susan spitting bits of pickled onion monster munch to the Raspberry Ripple while they discuss Happy Valley. Clary was worried they would bang on the windows. And Susan declared somewhat hysterically they'd be like chimpanzees, which is unlikely, unless they're flinging poo about, baring their teeth and screaming at each other. However, Susan then suddenly saw an opportunity to create radio yogurt with intercoms and Q&As and God knows what, so she's now all for it. And poor Clary is reconciled with feeling like a penguin at London Zoo. Nolitando pointed out to Freddy that there was an inappropriate painting on the wall, but the bit I was focused on was why the bloody hell was Freddy, whose responsibilities up until now have included wiping trays and asking Cliff to stop hanging his anorak off the nude statues, why is he now in charge of the political agenda of Lower Loxley and taking sodding great paintings off the wall? There's going to be a huge dark patch underneath for a start. What's he going to fill it with, the WI calendar? And the big cliffhanger was Luke Skywalker. Was Luke Skywalker deciding that he had to find his father? Was there one piece of furniture or item that Jenny Darling possessed that didn't have some sort of secret letter or list inside? Must have played merry hell with the washing machine. Anyway, Adam overreacted and started behaving as if Paddy Redmond's letter had been thrust upon him while people screamed and danced about in anticipation, wondering what he was going to do. After 2 hours, he was declaring he'd devoted too much of his headspace to this and put it in the bin, then fished it out again. I do not care if Luke finds Darth Vader, but what I am enjoying is the fact that every time he says Paddy Redmond, I hear Eddie Redmayne, which is giving me much joy. The end. Oh dear.
Thank you, Lucy. Thank you. Yeah, we'll call you. We'll call you. Thank you. Oh, well done, Lucy. You don't realise, until, you know, when you're feeling crappy, that it's only when you do lots of speaky that you realise how much you're hurting yourself.
Yes, it's breath control, and I haven't got any, apparently.
Oh. And it really hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh. But very, very well. I mean, not very well. What I meant to say was, we did very well, didn't we, dear?
Yes, we don't we have did. A carer, Harriet. We would like a carer. Do you remember anything? You obviously don't remember anything about Paddy Redmayne. Do you remember...
Eddie Redmayne.
Do you know anything about him?
I thought Adam's father... I didn't realise that Adam had three dads. And I thought that Adam's father was the guy that grew up... that Adam grew up with for a little bit. So the second guy, Roger Macey. I thought that was Adam's dad. I didn't know he had a father who wasn't even involved. Who didn't... Sounds like Paddy and Jennifer didn't have a proper relationship, really. They just had a fling.
Paddy Redmayne had red hair, and when Adam was born, he had red hair. So that's how they knew.
Because that was before Jeremy Kyle and DNA tests and stuff.
Yep.
So they just knew by the hair.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah, a bit like Prince Harry then, wasn't it? They just knew by the hair. So, yes, but did you know anything about Paddy?
No, only the red hair thing. But do you think we're now going to have him back?
Well, I sort of hope so, because that would be... I think what's quite interesting, I know you want the Jennifer... I can see what you're saying about the Jennifer.
It's just all the enforced, that's my teddy bear. Honestly, Kate, you can't have everything.
I know. It was a bit cringe, wasn't it? But I quite enjoy the bringing up of the past. In fact, this week I thought was so interesting. There were so many, I don't know, like nice little storylines, or not necessarily nice ones, but thought-provoking stuff. You know, not just the slave trade connotations and Lower Loxley, but suddenly Adam, although he's sort of universally loathed a little bit, if we could get to the...
I'm not sure you could be a little bit universally loathed, but you know.
I'm trying to be nice. But perhaps if we can understand his story better, because... do you think it was just glossed over back in the... I'm trying to work out when The Archers was airing in 19 whatever it was 69 or whenever Adam was born, did Paddy come, like, was like... that's quite a big deal, wasn't
it's
it
quite for, a racy storyline, yeah, and there was enormous pressure. One of the reasons why people always describe Jennifer as strong, it's because there was enormous pressure on her to reveal his name, and she never would.
Right. So those episodes, though, do you think the her and Paddy episode, they would have had a bit of going on, or do you think that was just implied, or was it just...
Think it was implied. I doubt so very that they much had there a, was a lot of slurpy slurpy.
Because Paddy worked at Brookfield, didn't he?
Yeah.
So... did Jenny come across him because she was... I'm quite interested to know more, and I hope that Adam does delve deep and that Paddy comes back and explains himself.
You're right, though, because Adam is a bit of an enigma, and, you know, it's sort of like, why is Adam? You know, just why is he? And...
Adam, why is...
If we...
why?
Wither Adam. And to actually know what has to happen to produce a person like that would be quite interesting, so we can all avoid doing it in the future and never having another one. So that would be nice also.
And that's the reason that for the last 30 years, Adam has played this this character.
Steamed up ball of melodrama.
Yes. Because I loved that episode when he got the letter, and him and Ian were talking about it, and he was going, I wish I could remember what he was saying, but everything he said became in that... He sounded a bit like you, actually, Lucy, because everything he said became breathy and urgent. And he goes from normal Adam to urgent Adam,
yeah,
or angry Adam,
yeah,
or and he has a new voice, and I like that, and I would like to hear the story behind the man.
The man behind the legend.
Yeah, I because think... Brian wasn't a... Although Adam now is sort of misty-eyed, we know that Adam and Brian have had a difficult relationship,
yeah,
didn't they? Especially towards the end of Adam's childhood. So Brian hasn't been a perfect father for Adam. And
I did like the way that Adam got this letter and was going, it's taken too much. It's taking up too much of my brain. And I thought, literally, you found it 2 hours ago.
I know,
2 hours. Some people wrestle with things like this for 20 years. What are you talking about, you lunatic?
No, but also the sort of... I was surprised that he just started reading it in front of Susan, and she was like, oh, this might be just a torn out page from a Mules and Bone. I'm not sure where. What if it started saying, the way my fingers feel, dirty, and Adam was still reading it out, and Susan
what does
can
that
handle
say,
it,
Susan?
Though,
is that nipple? I can't.
Oh, is it being romantic? Stop it. but again, really nice that they paired Susan and Adam together again.
Yeah,
because those two do have a really good chemistry.
Were you
Adam seems
that,
to be able to be himself with Susan. Some of his sort of, some of his prickliness comes away, doesn't it?
Well, I suppose because she's not competition for him in any way. She's not part of his immediate family.
And she's quite mothery. I think he likes those sort of maternal figures.
I was thinking that the only reason Susan was helping sort out the clothes was...
Yeah, we all know why she was there.
She was hoping to half-inch the odd scarf.
Yeah, and to me, why didn't Adam say when Susan said, oh, this lovely silk...
I know!
Adam should have said, it's yours, take it.
I mean, what am I going to do with it? Honestly, why do they all want...
Well, it really annoyed me in that first, the Sunday episode, when Brian was saying... Like, we need... Because that is exactly what my dad did when my mum died. My dad said almost immediately... can you come and look through mum's stuff and, you know, and take whatever you want and sort of, but he really, really, really didn't really, he really wanted us to sort it pretty much ASAP. And you can see why, because I think for some people it's quite difficult to have everything as it was before their partner died, you know. And
the loss more evident every time.
I could totally understand why Brian wanted, you know, to just remove it from his everyday sight. And Adam was so self... Because it was like, don't be so selfish. You just say, it's fine, don't worry, Brian. Why don't, instead of getting in a huff, just do what he did eventually, which was say, I'll take it away and we'll sort it out. But to sort of get stroppy about it is so spoilt.
Yes.
They are so annoying, those children.
They really are.
They're just... so entitled and yucky, aren't they sometimes?
Yeah.
But anyway, and of course, you know, it's quite an emotional thing, isn't it? But it's it's a very, very time-consuming job.
I mean, yes.
Probably loads of us have done it.
And there's enormous amounts of guilt involved as well, because you think, would she want me to, you know, this would mean something to her, would it? But it means nothing to me. What should, you know... will I feel guilty if I give this away? But at the same time, what on earth am I going to do with
it? Exactly. But also, somebody's definitely going to be in more need of it than you are.
Yeah.
So especially if Jenny has lovely quality clothes.
But the way they were going on, it was like the Mitfords, you know, going through ball gowns and things. And I just thought... loads of old coats and...
I was surprised there weren't more sort of chiffony sound effects. Mm. You know, the rustles of silks and all that. Like God, we were in the middle of a ball.
The deification of Jenny. Now, she always looked after her clothes so beautiful, Adam.
I know. Susan's suddenly her best friend.
And
I've been through the pockets. Oh, no, I didn't find anything. No. No, they're only 500 quid. I mean, no, I didn't find anything. No, just a pair of gloves, but they were moth-eaten. Oh, just, shall I put those in there? Yeah, but Adam should have said, take anything you want, you know, is it patronising for him to go, you know, would Emma like anything? But, you know, sometimes... people who've built up a good quality wardrobe, it, you know, there's going to be something for everyone in there. Like that pair of gloves, I would have happily taken a pair of leather gloves. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I've got my name down for any Burberry Max she's got going.
Well, she has a lot of gilets. Yeah, gilet, and I don't really know what a gilet is, but I don't think I'd wear one.
You'd look ridiculous in a gilet.
What is it? Is it one of those it's, body? Is it a body like warmer? A
padded waistcoat, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, on the other hand, can work a gilet like nobody's business.
Oh, Lucy, imagine if you'd have got your hands on... You would... Because there probably would have been a barber, wouldn't there?
Yeah, totally.
And when you're feeding your pigs when you've got them, there would have been a lot of pig feeding outfits for you in there. And Sunday lunch outfits and baking outfits.
Baking outfits.
For your when you're doing your baking.
Oh, talking of baking.
Oh, yeah.
Uncle God Kerry Davis has emailed us. For this week.
Was he telling us off?
No. He said, glad you got such good mileage out of the funereal baked meats. You know, we were laughing about the cooking last week. He said, I know they might have seemed like odd choices, although you transmogrified the lamb and prune pie into a casserole, which would have been even odder. But he said, I really wanted to use recipes from Jennifer Aldridge's Archer's Cookbook, which Angie Piper wrote in the 1990s. So I picked the ones that most closely fitted the story outline. My little tribute, big softy that I am.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I didn't even...
I didn't know she'd written the book.
Oh, that is really, really nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that is really nice.
I mean, it still
really
sounds
nice.
Disgusting, I'm not going to lie, but now there's a reason for it.
I love that. A proper Easter egg for us. How lovely. Wow.
Thank you, Kerry, for letting us know.
I feel bad now. Jenny Dad done a recipe for that disgusting avocado. That was a real recipe.
Dear God. Seaweed.
R.I.P.
Another question I had.
Yes, my dear.
Ms. Carmichael was.
Yes.
There seemed to be a lot of people making a definitive decision about something and then completely changing their minds, or at least starting their deliberations all over again in the next episode. So we had Adam saying, I'm definitely throwing it away.
Yeah.
I can't touch this. And then next week, I fished it out. The next episode, I fished it out in the bin.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Yeah.
And Kate
classic,
saying,
that was.
I'm going to sell Lola Longsley. I mean, sorry.
In her dreams.
Yeah. That'd be a surprise for everyone concerned, wouldn't it? I'm going to sell Spiritual Hummus. And then Alan said, don't make any big decisions. Yeah. Then Brian says, no, you're quite good at it. So she says, oh, all right then, I won't sell it. I'll keep it for 5 years. And then she was chuntering on about selling it again.
But I think it might have been that when Jenny died, they wanted to sort of show the different, effects that grief can have on you.
Okay.
And they did the contrasting stuff, didn't they? So Kate was making all those big rash decisions.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, we didn't really hear, because we didn't hear her changing her coming back. What I don't want, though, is that Kate's gone all a bit sensible since Jenny died, and I do not want this to continue.
No.
When she was having lunch with Nola Tando, I thought, is that Kate?
Yeah.
She sounds so normal.
Yeah.
I don't want
she
her.
She hasn't said anything stupid and irritating for at least 10 minutes.
And she's treating her daughter in a very motherly fashion. Yeah. I do not like this. But I don't want Jenny's death to make Kate become a normal person.
Yes.
Please send her back to being loony. And
because she suddenly decided that all the treatments she was offering were bollocks. That's what she basically said. Well, it's all a load of rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah,
But then how do you come back from that and go, oh, do you know what? I know it is rubbish, but I'm going to keep offering it anyway.
No, but then I don't remember her saying that, but then she did. But then Brian came for a massage, and then she was telling him how, she'd found that reference from Wikipedia about the, grief hormones or whatever.
Yeah.
Which actually I didn't know. I assume that must be completely true because it sounded like she was reading the sort of instructions on a, sort of how to. But
you are joking, aren't you, about that being completely true and scientific? That it was on a how to on Wikipedia.
Well, no, but it's the way she said it.
Written by somebody like Kate.
But do you know, I thought, because she was doing her sort of sensible stuff and it was all very sensible. And when you're grieving, your muscles tense up and you need some. I assume that must have been genuine fact, because the way she was saying it, I didn't think it sounded very cake, because I thought it sounded really I genuinely thought it sounded very sensible.
Well, I'm sure it was genuinely written down somewhere, but it's not necessarily genuinely scientifically true.
No, because it sounds like a perfect remedy, doesn't it?
Yes.
If
everybody that was grieving would just be having massages and we'd all be better.
Although there is something to, because I find if I am stressed, or I always get a headache, and I sometimes get quite achy around my shoulders.
That's just tension.
Then I was like, yeah, but then is that the stress hormones? Is it what Kate was saying?
No, it's because you're tensing your muscles because you're stressed. You're not relaxed. You're holding yourself in a certain way.
Isn't that what she was saying, though?
But that's not grief, is it? That's just stress.
But then she was sort of saying grief is stress.
Yeah. I think... Oh, dear.
Look, whatever. I don't want her and Brian to be friends.
No.
I want them to argue.
I want her to go back and do...
silly things.
Snow yoga or whatever it was.
Weather Pilates or whatever it was.
Weather
committee. Yeah. Exactly. Or blossom dancing.
Yes.
Or, yeah, exactly. Oh, yes. She's done the goat yoga, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Please, Kate, go back and forget who your children's names again and all of that. Please, thank you very much.
As two posh white women, we're not in any position to discuss the Lower Loxley thingy, are we?
What are you talking about, Lucy? I just did a thing for the National Gallery and I had to do...
Did you tell them you'd been skiing twice in 3 weeks?
No, I didn't sign like this. No, but actually, funnily enough, nowadays things have to be sensitivity checked, don't they? Because really importantly, and occasionally you have to do a warning about the content of this piece of art and whatever. And I would have thought, I thought this storyline was really, really interesting, because it's so unlikely for the archers, isn't it?
Yeah.
But actually, of course it's not, because any stately British stately home is bound to have links to the slave trade, isn't it?
All that stuff by being nice, did they? No.
No, not necessarily. I'm not saying every... If we go back in time, then it's likely that a lot of our British or English ancestors might have had some sort of links to.
Yeah.
And also, what's interesting about the National Gallery and all galleries is it might not just be what the painting is representing, but it might be who paid for the painting to be done or stuff like that.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that...
I thought it was a brilliant storyline.
That Nolitando was actually very calm and relaxed about it. And it was Freddie that completely went totally mad and was chucking the baby out with the bathwater and not seeing any value in it at all.
Well, all he was thinking about was the reputation of Lower Loxley. Mm. But he wasn't actually... I thought what was so clever was it's such a thought-provoking issue. Because it's so complicated, isn't it? Because there's so many different things to think about, and what is the best way to address, to address that? I mean, and then what about reparations? And it's so interesting. It's such and it's a debate that is being had now,
and it is an undeniable part of history. You can't pretend
you can't
it didn't
erase
happen
it. No,
you can't
no,
erase
well,
it but you can
be much worse
use it as a way to teach people.
exactly because I remember, like, it made me think of when I was at college and we did my favorite Jane Austen, Mansfield Park. Everyone loves a bit of Fanny, and I remember there's a bit where Lord Bertram's been away for ages, and I think it hints at the fact that he's been on a plantation, or he has money in a ship, doesn't he? And I remember in college and the teacher sort of like referring to it and saying, and it could be linked to a sugar plantation and slave trade and da da da. But we were just like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It just went over our heads completely, or it wasn't explained. And now you go back and go, oh my God, I wish that that is such an important. Now, when you read any book from a bygone age, and you know, and it talks about, or it just has sort of really, you know, racist elements to it, and it's so shocking now if you haven't. And but I just feel like it's such a enlightening sort of process, all of this as well, isn't it? Because finally we're being educated in what actually happened in them old days, Lucy. And you know, and actually the responsibility that a lot of us have to take for what, you know, in from our sort of bloodlines.
Yeah,
and all that.
It's like all the stuff going back from the museums, you know, because British Museum is essentially a sort of international pawn shop, isn't it?
We'll pluck one of the eyes out, and we'll just send you one of the diamond eyes, but we're going to keep the rest, if that's okay.
Yeah.
It's quite a hard sculpture to take apart, so... Yeah, no, but it's just so interesting. What's the best, you know, what's the right thing to do? And
but I liked Freddie's millennial hysteria.
And yes, exactly.
Elizabeth's kind of, we can't just raise it, like, Freddie,
we'll just get the trustees to work it out.
Yeah.
She was literally like, it's not my problem.
Yeah. And Lily being such a god. Annoying head prefect, head girl, but also actually coming up with quite a sensible solution.
Yeah, it was quite
But
good.
Entirely pragmatic, that didn't have a sort of an ounce of apology or spirituality in it.
Throwing a sheet on it.
Yeah. Ah! Just covering it up. Oh my God.
Ooh, what's under the... It's a picture of a ship. Yeah. Ah, why has he put a sheet on it? No, but I really liked that storyline, because I thought it was... like so un-Archers-y, isn't it?
Yeah And it wasn't it wasn't preachy, it was just kind of quite natural. It was character driven rather than we've had a thing from the press office saying we've got to talk about this now, you know.
Sepsis. So there was that.
Who's going to move into the stables? Do we care?
You actually care? Who would you rather live with? Would you rather live with Lily or Freddie?
Freddie.
I'd rather live with Freddie. Yeah. Would you rather live with Josh or Freddie?
Freddie.
And would you rather live with Lily or Josh?
Josh.
Yes. Yes is the right answer to every question, one of those questions.
Why she just can't do it. She has got such a stick up her ass, that girl, hasn't she? But and she's going, look, we're relaxing, look, but God. I'm being cool, aren't I? Don't put that down there without a coaster. You could just
oh my God, Josh, why didn't he just go, I just, let's have a trial, I don't think this is gonna work.
Yeah,
it was so awful. Are they they're cousins, aren't they?
Yeah
Yes, poor Josh. So who's the third person gonna be?
Nolitando.
Oh, but she's got somewhere in Durban.
I think she's not going back.
Oh, Freddie's going to offer her a job.
She's been sensitivity consultant. Yes.
Oh, God, actually, Lord. That would be quite good, though, if she sticks around for a bit. Although, as long as, Kate winds her up and, stops being normal, that would be good. Oh, okay. That's quite a good call, Lucy.
We still didn't hear from Phoebe at all, did we?
No, I know.
Apparently...
But Lucy! Do you know what I'm about to say?
Debbie's coming back.
She's coming back. Did you see?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I looked ahead.
Every time anyone says, check the character list, I always think, oh, shit, it's Rob! And I'm always so relieved when it isn't.
She's in at least three episodes.
Yay!
I can't believe it. So that's why they made a reference to her at the funeral. Just to remind everybody that Debbie is a real person. I am so excited.
Yes.
Let's hope it doesn't disappoint. What if they've brought her back what if it's a new actor?
No.
God.
They wouldn't.
No, they would. They couldn't. No, they couldn't.
Kerry.
Yeah.
Davis said that on Twitter, he doesn't often comment on the sort of the show setup, but he said... they've had the amount of characters they're allowed to use per month decreased again. So what? He said that's why we ended up referencing a lot of people verbally and not hearing them speak at the funeral.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, he said there was. It's been drastic cuts again.
Oh, for God's sake. Well, they've had to cut all those BBC singers, haven't they? Mm. Seeing that, what, oh my God.
We've lost match of the day, that's going to save it.
What they're going to have to do is like create a massive flood in the village and just kill loads of characters off. Yeah. Until there's only, Susan.
Chelsea.
Roy, do you think Roy would survive?
I don't know.
I think
why.
Someone put his head down under. No. yes. I think, yeah. Oh, that's really sad.
Yeah.
That is stupid because surely there's ways around that.
Yeah.
But maybe not. So maybe you can only. Yeah, I don't really know how it works.
The BBC just seems to be.
Oh, Lucy, it's just dreadful these days.
But it
dreadful.
Just seems to be in a sort of spiralling into a bit of a backspin somehow.
Which it blooming well shouldn't be, seeing as they are like the only guaranteed getting money every month, aren't they? I know everyone else is getting a bit of money, but that's out of. But, well, you know, I mean, Lucy, let's not get into it because we'll just. I just don't know what we can add to the conversation.
No. That's never stopped anybody before.
No, a bit like me talking about the slave trade. There's so much I can add. I add a lot of value.
I did history of art, actually.
I did history of art, and I do a lot of like audio guides for art tours. So I can talk very confidently about it, actually, Lucy. I thought the East India Company though, doesn't it still exist?
I don't know. I know East India Dock Road still exists, but I don't know about the company.
Yeah, you can buy tea called East India Tea.
Mm.
I mean,
that just
maybe
means
there's
it's from
the
East India then.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
I think
you sort of see it in lots of places still. Anyway, and what about? Oh, my favourite bit of the whole week was when Susan was telling Lizzie how lucky she is to have Neil. He's very captivating when he's public speaking. I just gave such a big cheer. I loved that she was so proud of him. And I loved Lizzie just going, really?
It was, I also liked Susan's sudden dawning on her that, well, if we could talk to the people. There's some
Helen,
sort of
again.
What is she talking about?
But again, this is like, I mean, I love it because it's so Helen. But to basically go, I'm going to invite people to gawp at my workers. So, like, it's horrible. It's like having constant CCTV on
them
all
day. And you'd have to have their buy-in. You couldn't just do it.
Unbelievable.
They're not a petting zoo, for crying out loud. They're two middle-aged ladies.
Exactly. And occasionally they want to put their bowls down and have a little bit of a chat or eat their sarnie or whatever.
Pick their noses.
Yeah. Pick their noses, exactly. How, what they get? Yeah, or spit in the cheese or, you know, sneeze or something. And how are they going to... But then my other voice was saying, but don't be silly, who would go anyway?
Yes, that's true.
Who would go anyway? People who are going to the shop and then...
I loved it when Susan said to Adam, you've really revitalised Bridge Farm. And he just sort of went, ugh.
with your edible garden,
you've set them all off now.
With your edible pizza van, dough, whatever. I'm sure the edible garden or forest, whatever it is going to end up sustaining the pizza. You know, there's going to be some sort of collab, isn't there? With
shed loads of rocket. How are those two surviving? On a casual food packer, veg packer wage, and the odd festival where the basic ingredients, because Adam's pizzas aren't going to be margarita, are they? They're going to be truffle and blah, 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 with a something something sauce, which is going to cost £80 billion.
Well, I think that's why Adam was so keen to get the clothes over to his house to check the pockets.
Stick them on eBay.
And or just check the pocket. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're totally right. I don't know.
Madness.
It is pure madness. But it doesn't matter because money doesn't really exist in that world.
No.
It's fine. It's totally fine.
And who was the person? Was it Tony who, when Helen was wanging on about turning them into a petting zoo, when he said, oh yes, and we could build a lovely wooden structure with a corrugated tin roof for a really rustic. I thought, ugh, corrugated tin is horrible. It's not attractive. It's awful.
Oh, were they talking about putting a coffee shop in?
Yeah, a shelter for people to... Honestly, it is like, you know when you go to a shitty wildlife park and you go and there's an otter bit and you watch the otter through these sort of grimed up portholes. And you look in and you see these otters zooshing around. That's what Clary and Susan are otters, basically.
And Sue, can you hear me? Yeah. Hello. Any questions? It's just weird. Wouldn't it be a better idea for the people to, if they really want to go and have a look, they could go in and see. Yes. I mean, how is the two-way communication thing going to happen?
It's nonsense, absolute
walkie-talkies.
I actually went last year to a tour of the Wensleydale Dairy, which was extremely interesting.
Was it now?
And delicious, largely because they did a Wensleydale cheesecake, which was absolutely fabulous and one of the nicest things I've ever eaten in my life.
Was it baked?
No, it's a proper one. I like those baked ones.
They do them in Gales. They're really nice.
That's American ones. I don't like those. And it was just yummy.
But was it cheesy then? Cheesy cheesecake?
There was a really slight saltiness to it.
Oh, nice.
And this sweetness and, oh, just gorgeous. Ooh. Anyway.
Did you have interaction with the cheesemakers?
No, they just got on with what they were doing.
Oh, so you just did it like...
Yeah, I mean, you could see what they were doing, but you didn't...
But did you... Was it looking through a window?
I think so.
Well, then this is exactly Helen...
But you couldn't talk to them.
Yeah, but Helen's only said that to pacify Susan. There's no way that Susan's going to be able to do a sort of monologue. She's going to get Neil along as well, isn't she? Because he's very good at public speaking.
But you do a like a guided tour where they show you, somebody says to you, okay, this is what's happening here, and he shows you the milk and he shows you the rennet and all that and how you make the cheese, and that's all you need to do. You don't need to stare with your mouth half open at poor two women in hair.
No, well, that's how Helen should have pitched it, is that there's going to be more people wandering around. We're going to put a window in so that, you know, there's more light into your workspace. And, yeah.
I just love Clary's. What?
Yeah. No, not doing it. No. Well, I'm not comfortable with it. You might be so soon, but don't worry, Clary. I'll speak to the both of us. And I loved her telling Adam, Clary's not really. She's not really a public speaker, but I'll speak for the both of us. Helen's such a manipulative bitch, isn't she?
She's just so patronising.
Yeah, she is. But I just love that. I really believe that set. I believe everything about Bridge Farm, actually.
And when they said, well, it's all right for you, you'll be in the office with all your paperwork. I'll be there too, Susan. yeah, you're doing that with your paperwork. And I thought, I bet she's doing her Waitrose order. She's
doing her 2 kilogram weights at the same time.
Yeah, and she's just fannying around looking at, you know, shoes on Bowdoin or something. She's not doing paperwork and invoices. She's just not.
Yeah, she's checking her ices, isn't she?
Yeah.
See if she can sell half of one. But I've got to think of, Jack and, what's the other one called again? Jack and Gideon.
Oh, God knows.
I just thought it was an interesting storyline.
The most unlikely thing was that she could get a builder that was going to start in 2 days' time.
Yeah, but Tony didn't even say, oh, how much is it going to cost?
Yeah.
Like, who's paying for this? Because builders don't come cheap. Well, but what? But
it's
2 days'
farm. They never, ever work out how much anything is going to cost. They never do a feasibility study. They never work out whether anything's actually a good idea or not. They just sort of, Dad, I had a dream and I want to do it. And he says, okay, darling. And that's it.
No, but she's like, she's got enough money to do this. Yeah. But she hasn't got enough money. You know, that's the thing. I think Helen's definitely got a secret stash somewhere, hasn't she? Because she's very blasé about spending money.
Yeah. Oh, she drives me around the bend.
Yeah.
Absolutely around the bend.
But I love her.
You're and, very yeah, patient. I can't love the ones that drive me mad.
This was one of those weeks I liked because it was little sort of storylines that aren't necessarily too stressful. You know, they're just at sort of like either interesting, like the Lower Loxley one, you know, a new take on something, or the flat share thing, which I don't care about. Don't need to listen to all that. And then the viewing panels. I just love the businessy, you know.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's just a tad of controversy going on, yeah, here and there, yeah, but nothing that's going to make me anxious.
Well, yet we have to wait and see what happens to that bloody electric charging station.
Oh, I don't care about that either. I'm do what they want. I'm not bothered about it. Lee's not bothered about it, so I'm not bothered about it.
Okay.
To be honest.
My God, is that your new benchmark now? Is, yes, Lee bothered? Right.
Yes, because Lee came into his own, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
And I haven't really stopped thinking about him since.
God. Right. Emails. This is from Jake, who says, I am thinking that the Ben story in the home is morphing into Adrian Mole and Bert without the scary dog. Look after yourselves. Hashtag helping hands, Jake. Yes, it is, rather. And also, it's the same neck of the woods, isn't it? Birmingham-y. Bert's dog was called Sabre, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
This is from Anne Cure in Ottawa, who says, I find increasing similarities between the Archers Borsetshire and Barsetshire, particularly the 20th Century Chronicles, written by Angela Thurkell. I love those. I'm sure you're familiar with them.
Oh.
And I'm absolutely certain that Eurovisia is the post-Soviet name of Thurkell's fictional Mixolydia, which makes musicians chuckle since it's the name on an alternative scale to what we're used to, because we're used to... the scale is Mixolydian mode. Thank you all for making the world a better place.
I'm a bit lost, actually. I thought, so Barsetshire as in Anthony Trollope's Barsetshire?
Yeah, no, yeah, he created
Barsetshire. Is there an updated one?
But then in the 1930s, there was a writer called Angela Thurkell who wrote a series of romantic novels set in Barsetshire.
I am immediately looking those up because that sounds right on my street.
They Angela, are very, very...
Angela what?
Thurkell, T-H-I-R-K-E-L-L.
Oh, yeah, okay. That sounds like exactly the sort of thing I should be reading.
There's one
look at the
Wild
covers.
Strawberries, which,
yes,
are really lovely. It's
the
a
cover
really lovely book.
Is, yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I can't wait. Goody, goody, goody.
They're really lovely. If you're a bit poorly or the news is a bit stressful,
yes,
they're just
this is exactly what I need to read before, yeah, I go to sleep. Good.
And they are also, their audiobooks as well, read by Patience Tomlinson. It's very good.
Oh, how lovely. I've only worked with Patience Tomlinson once and I just fell in love with her.
Mm.
And she's got such a lovely voice.
Yeah.
Right, done.
Sold. To the small blonde. Right. Patricia Johnson has headed her email, Funeral Baked Meats.
like Kerry.
Yeah. It ended with Alice. She's talking about the Thursday's episode of The Archers. It ended with Alice and Muse that Jennifer is contributing to her own funeral tea. I do mostly home cooking. I'm no Ruth in the kitchen, but not much gets into the freezer. I had a quick brutal round. If I die in the next few weeks, my guests will have access to 6 litres of chicken stock, a small portion of spaghetti bolognese and some roasted beetroot. What have other Ambridge on the Couch listeners prepared for the final occasion?
Oh, that is such a good question.
6 litres of chicken stock. That's a lot of soup.
That is a lot of soup. I could do with some of that, actually, because I love chicken stock, but I just use it before I can freeze it.
Right.
But it comes in handy for everything. And mostly if you went in my freezer, it would just be corn nuggets.
Right.
Corn nuggets, fish fingers and peas. That's literally it. And a few packs of pita bread, obviously.
Mine is 752 boxes of Tupperware boxes of chicken stock. And
have you got more chicken stock than
are you... even more than Patricia? And I think currently 6 pizzas in there because William has them for his lunches when he comes home from college.
Yeah, that's standard freezer stock.
Oh, and you know when you sort of have, when you get you make things in a fit of zeal and put them in the freezer, and then they all sort of start looking the same, and you get them out, and you kind of, people say, "What are we having for dinner?" And you sort of point doubtfully at this thing and go, "That," and you're not sure if it's fish pie, cottage pie, or apple crumble. But anyway, we're having that when it defrosts, and everyone goes, "Oh."
Yeah, because if I'm freezing, I hardly ever freeze anything because stuff just gets eaten so quickly in this house. But if I am freezing something, often I'll put it in a freezer bag or a Tupperware and I won't write in it because I'll go, well, I know what that is. I'll remember. I can see it.
Yes, I'm not an idiot. I'll remember. Yeah. No.
But of course, when it's been in there for 6 months, you're right. And it's covered in ice.
Yeah, it's a bit furry, furry on the top.
It's everything's the same colour. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
And if you've cling filmed it, then the cling film's gone sort of cracky and broken through in a few places as well.
God.
That's not good either.
But that's a brilliant question.
Yeah.
What have you got in your freezer?
Mine would be whatever they made would have to involve a lot of, so it'd either have to be soup or risotto. That was all that's all they'd have to do to make.
Yes. Oh, but you could make, I love gravy. Chicken stock. Well, I just like making those sort of nice Thai soup things.
Yes.
Yum. Because I feel like every time I eat something like that, like a pho or, chicken stock with stuff in it, I feel like this is going to keep me COVID-free for the next 3 months.
It's worked really well for me, so,
I can tell. Now, Lucy, that's because clearly you haven't been eating your chicken stock.
No, I've been,
Only you'd got one of those Tupperwares out of the freezer 3 weeks ago, you totally would have been fine.
Yes, well... remember for next time.
Well, maybe you should get it out the freezer for tomorrow, Lucy.
Yes. This is from Catherine Longson, who says, she really liked last week. She said, Susan, about the funeral, Susan saying, "Let's put it in a bowl and call it dip." that was Alice saying that, wasn't it, after the bloody seaweed thing collapsed, whatever it was, pondweed. Actually laughed out loud explosively and scared the cat. The weirdest bit was the wake centrepiece being made by the deceased. No, and again, no. I would physically recoil if I found that out at a funeral. Best bit, Chelsea digging up a little scandal, then turning posh boy's unpaid job down. And she had to listen to the funeral episode on 1.5 speed as she couldn't take all the emotion at a normal pace.
I do that sometimes with the Archers. Because you get everything. You get all the content.
Yeah.
Just slightly quicker.
Faster.
And some people sound totally normal on 1.5.
Yeah.
Lizzie sounds very fast. Some people sound a lot faster than others. But some people sound normal speed. Like Clary should always be played at 1.5. But then you lose Clary, obviously. Oh. Depends if you're just after story or character, basically.
I don't care what they say. I like how they say it.
Yes, of course. But if you're in a hurry and you're about to do a podcast and you haven't listened for a while, you basically need to listen on 1.5.
James Everett has suggested that Lillian is the grey man, which he claims was foreshadowed in 2011. And he sent us an audio clip, which I will now play.
Oh, wow.
Can you hear it?
The mic did change.
I've just been to the house on the green, checking on the builders.
Oh, how's it going?
Well, they're a couple of days behind already. I don't want them thinking they can sneak off to do other jobs whenever my back's turned. Mm-hmm.
You certainly know how to crack the whip, don't you, Lillian?
The builders, you have to, darling. If you don't give them a regular rollicking, they'll be there till doomsday. I speak from experience.
There! So...
if you don't give them a regular rollicking, you'll be there till doomsday. That's so funny, isn't
Lillian
it?
Sounded like she was quite enjoying
That's basically the equivalent of finding that East India ship in a painting. Finding Lillian saying that in an episode of The Archers. Because it's all to do with the modern slavery thing. Oh my God. Wow. Was that her? Was that Jolene as well?
Yeah.
Even their voices sound a little bit different, don't they?
Yeah. It's younger. It's 2011, so it's...
2011.
Yeah.
Is further back than you think, isn't
yes.
it?
Oh, God, don't start. I still think of 1990 as about
But that's a great uncovering. Was it James, isn't that?
Yes, James Everett. Paula Taylor said, the Bridge Farm strike sketch was brilliant, one of the funniest yet. I think Chelsea should now get all the Lower Loxley volunteers to go on strike. How dare Freddie, the entitled whiny-voiced brat, exploit people to work for his family business for free.
It was a good
to expect Brad episode. And Chelsea, young people who are living in poverty, to work for his family unpaid is outrageous. I was so thrilled with Chelsea and her reaction to the appalling patronising interview. It really seems to have
riled people.
Yeah,
it's only because of the way they were with the volunteers. It was just the way they treated the volunteers, rather than going, thank you. It's so lovely of you to give up your time to do this interview process, blah, blah, blah. That's all they needed to do to make it all okay.
And believe me, I mean, Charlotte's worked with my sister's worked with lots of volunteer organisations. And she said, you're so pathetically grateful for anybody that offers to help for nothing.
Yeah.
You don't interview, you just go, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you,
thank you. Yeah. Anyway, I'm pleased for Neil, though, because I think he will enjoy it.
Yes, I do too. I just hope he doesn't get too forlocky to Freddie, because he really doesn't need to.
No, well, hopefully he won't once he's up and running doing those tours. Lucy, what was the name of King William III's horse? They didn't tell us. So I'm left wondering. I did. This is how sad I am. I Googled it and no one told me on Google. So if anyone knows, write in.
This is Steve Barry. Dear Cooper and hangers-on, I have a couple of contributions of dubious merit to put to you. David Longjohns, can I presume that neither of you have done a day's work in The Outside? Of course I have. How very gay. It may come as a shock to the more urbanified that fields and carving barns are not centrally heated and you can be out there for a very long time. Although I generally work indoors, I have done jobs where I was required to be stood in the great al fresco for long periods of time. Thermal long johns are the only way to go. So many people have now said this to me that I'm thinking of investing in a pair, I have to say. More seriously, on grief and bereavement, Brian has been somewhat selfish in parts of this actually excellent storyline. Grief is a very selfish thing. We move slowly and not always in one direction. Denial is one early stage that people experience, and I think, as one of your other correspondents mentioned, possibly have something to do with his wanting not to have a funeral. The rituals are very important. As someone who's denied a funeral for both my father and grandmother, they both died at the very start of the first COVID lockdown. And the restrictions locally meant that there could only be 5 people in attendance, which didn't even cover the immediate family. Mm. Although the decisions that were made at the time made a great deal of sense, the lack of ceremony and then the opportunity to be with a great number of people who knew and loved the departed, the chance to share usually happy memories is something that, as the third anniversary approaches, I still find difficult. Lastly, I cannot help feeling that Lucy's revelation about a crush on David Archer probably told us more about the workings of Harriet's mind than Lucy's. I don't understand that.
What? I was just surprised is all. After all that Long John stuff.
Yes, Long John stuff.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
I know, that's awful.
That is awful. And yeah, it goes back to, we were saying, weren't we? It's just, funerals are important. And should not be taken for granted.
Yes.
Especially after COVID.
This is from Diana, who says, just a thought as I listened to today's episode while careering around the kitchen. I've just cleaned my spice drawer and I've come across some cardamom powder, which I have no use for. So I've chucked some in the Victoria sponge and I'm hoping for the best. I've seen the recipe where they put cardamom in a Victoria sponge, Diana, so I think it's probably fine.
Yeah, because I love cardamom buns. Have you ever had those?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Cardamom and sugar is a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
Did you know that in America, you know, coriander is cilantro.
Yeah.
But they still have coriander seeds.
Really?
Yeah.
How silly.
That was a fact I found out this week.
Wow.
Yep.
She says, might there be a Jack Rob plot coming on? That would be fun, wouldn't it? Helen and the boys go to Florida and Rob swoops down from Minnesota or wherever he is and abducts Gideon.
Wouldn't it be great if they... Oh, hang on. Sorry, one sec. Hello? Tibbs, is that you? There's just running away of children. There. It's I am the only adult present in the house.
Oh, I see. So they were just about to say, can we have a whatever?
Yes, they were.
Now they've decided, definitely. We didn't want to bother you, so we just did it.
Yes, that's what's going to happen.
Jane Wickham said, is it possible to purchase Ambridge on the Couch mugs?
Oh, my God. 100%. I'm just trying to work out a way where I can... is anyone... I tell you who is really good, who gave me lots of advice and I've basically forgotten it all, is Toby Lawrence, aka Freddie. He knows a lot about merch. I can't remember the reason. He is merch expert.
Mr. Merch.
He's Mr. Merch. He gave me loads of really good ideas because the sort of the difficulty is like you to make it affordable for people. You have to sort of order in bulk, don't you? But then how do you get it to everybody's houses if you're ordering in bulk, Lucy?
You've got a bike? What are you talking about? Get on with it.
I'm going to try one of those electric ones. So I could probably get to...
And lots of children. Surely you could just pack each one on a train.
And they've got lots of friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'd love to... sell our mugs because we could sell them on the Patreon thing, couldn't we? Or just on Amazon.
If anyone's
Amazon
got any ideas about how the bloody hell we do it, do write in.
Toby, if you're listening, can you send me all those ideas again that I promised I would remember?
You know what you said? Well, I wasn't listening. Can you say it again?
Yeah, it's just the getting it to people without everybody having to pay £5 for P&P, basically.
Is it? I thought Cafe Press did that.
There's probably something I could do, isn't there?
Yes. What was that noise?
That was me going...
Yes, what is that?
I was drumming my thighs.
Oh.
Because that's a sort of... I was doing that thing... You know when you're thinking about something?
Oh, I see.
And then you, like, do that, don't you?
Okay.
Do you?
No, I don't. Sarah Helton is your new favourite person because she got us mentioned on...
Our Sarah... Doris mentioned
on Off Air with Jane and
Times,
Fee.
Times Radio. Yes, Fee, Jane read out her letter, didn't she?
I couldn't tell who was talking.
No, it's quite hard to tell who's who. But it was Jake, because Jane's the Archer fan. Well, listens to the Archers. Fee Glover hates the Archers, or doesn't listen to the Archers. I don't know if she hates it. And yes.
Anyway, Sarah said... I wrote to Jane and Fee about my love of the Archers and how it connects me with my amazing friend Anna, who sadly died suddenly and unexpectedly last year at the age of just 50. I also referenced Harriet being mistaken for Fee and my love of Ambridge on the Couch. This all features at about 15 minutes into the Monday, March 6 episode of the podcast Off Air. And we listened and there it was.
It was such a thrill. Such a
she
thrill.
She said your name and everything.
She said my name like I was just like... A celebrity colleague.
Like a real person.
Harriet Carmichael. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ambridge on the Couch. Oh, yeah, Ambridge on the Couch. Yeah.
Harriet Carmichael, right? Pain in the arse. I'm forever being confused with her.
God, she gets around, doesn't she? Not her again. Always trying to be mentioned.
Where's that Carmichael things? Yes.
yes, that was a little bit of a thrill. So thank you for that.
Julie Bacon. Madam Chair, wants to reply to us about A, the zeal of the newly converted, and also people getting married in Lent. Because somebody emailed and said, we got married in Lent, but we could put flowers in, but we had to take them all away immediately afterwards. We weren't allowed to leave them in the church.
Yeah, so, okay, so that makes so that's a good compromise.
Yeah. Julie says, dear lovely Ambridge on the Couches, in response to your query about whether converts behave like harassment, all I can say is that I probably did behave a bit like him when my faith came to life in a new way in the early 2000s. Luckily, I had a wonderful and very patient vicar. Here are a few Lent facts. Lent starts on Ash Wednesday and
lasts
for 40 days.
Lent facts. Sorry, I was putting something behind it to give you a bit of Lent facts.
Some churches treat every Sunday as a feast day, celebrating the resurrection. So Lenten disciplines can be set aside and you don't count as part of the 40 days. Break open the chocky biscuits. Yes, they do count. And gin. Mm. The fourth Sunday of Lent is Mothering Sunday, a.k.a. Refreshment Sunday, a point for setting aside Lenten restrictions, even if you're adopting a more hardcore position on the other Sundays.
It's a day off your Lent?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Julie, thank you.
You probably wouldn't have flowers on Sundays in church, even though Sundays are feast days. Nobody said it was logical. But there's no reason why people can't get married during Lent and have flowers if they want. They'd probably be encouraged to take them away with them. Right. I would be reluctant to conduct a wedding between Good Friday and Easter Day because the period known as the Triduum, Latin for 3 days, is regarded as the most solemn part of the church year. Finally, in many churches...
And busy.
The word Alleluia is banned during Lent. Some even do a thing called burying the Alleluia on the Sunday before Lent starts.
Whoa.
And then whip it out again joyfully on Easter Day. Who amongst us hasn't whipped it out joyfully on Easter Day? If you wanted to upset such a church, you could always run in during Lent and shout the A word before running off. Although I can't imagine why anyone would want to. I'm sure I've told you more.
Now put that idea into somebody's
want to know,
head.
But regard it my duty as spiritual advisor to the Average on the Couch Patreon steering group, in addition to being Madam Chair.
I love all these facts.
Yeah.
I love that. But mostly I love that there's a day off in the middle of Lent.
Yes, and I didn't know that. So now you can eat chocolate, can't you?
Yay, especially because it's Mothering Sunday.
Yes. So make sure you tell all your children, Mummy would like chocolate, darling.
Well, I think Mummy might be away skiing on Mothering Sunday,
really?
Actually. So I'll just be eating all the chocolate I can anyway.
So your children will be sitting at home crying, saying, we've made all these things for Mother and she's not here.
She is not doing her mothering.
She is drunk on the slopes with her friends. We are here, blacking the grate. Mm.
It's just absent Mother Sunday.
Well, if Mothering Sunday is about enjoying yourself as a mother, the best way to do it is to not be with your children. Richard Keeling says, apologies if I come across as a bit grumpy. I did not manage to get Eurovision tickets today. And as a homosexual male, I feel I failed in life.
I am sorry.
Is it just me or is a few days after the funeral the ideal time to start going through Jenny's things? By the sounds of it, she had half the ladies' department of Underwoods in the house. No wonder Brian wanted shot of it. The house must feel huge now. Also, how big was this box that had all the children's things in? There were wellies, teeth, a makeup head thing. I had visions of it being like Mary Poppins' bag and was waiting for Adam to say, oh, look, it's a 6-foot floor lamp I had in my bedroom as a teenager. Can we please have one storyline where one archer doesn't just benefit another? Josh has a spare room, so decides to give it to Lily. Isn't she a full-time student? How's she going to afford it? Especially if she's having a takeaway a week. You know who'd be a great housemate? Paul.
Cool.
He works at the vets, which is right by the stables. He works, so can pay rent, and he's a hoot. Oh, but he isn't related to you, so therefore can't possibly be an option. If
Good
Paul
point.
Is not in that spare room by Friday, I'll be madder than a very mad Lee. All the love, Richard.
Well, that's a good shout, isn't it? It all has to be family first.
Yeah.
You know who that box should have gone to with clothes? Joy!
Oh,
no,
yes.
It was menswear. No, menswear. She used to work in menswear, didn't she? Not ladieswear. Sorry.
Philip Bailey, dear lovely Lucy and Heartthrob Harriet.
Thanks.
Just a minor rant this week.
Just a minor one.
There appears to be an unwelcome return of the unnecessary and unrealistic trend of referring to familial relationships at every opportunity. I noticed that, didn't I? I said last week it was all about exposition.
Yeah.
Well, she is your aunt after all and all that.
Yeah.
Auntie Shula this and Auntie Lillian that, even Lizzie referring to Auntie Shula in a conversation with Lily. This has always grated with me ever since the good old Auntie Cardboard days, with Christine only I'd ever identified as Auntie, even by people went into their 50s. If Lily and Josh were talking together, would they really refer to Auntie Bloody Shula so frequently? Chelsea even got an Uncle Neil in last week. I'm a 57-year-old miserable git and I have grown-up conversations about my aunts and uncles without shoehorning Auntie and Uncle every bloody time. David and Elizabeth would do the same. Her name is Shula, for flip's sake. I know that scriptwriters are always keen to remind new or casual listeners of who is related to whom, but sod them and stop it. Keep up the good work.
But when I was little, We only called my aunts and uncle. We just called them by their first names. But I was always envious of my friends who called them like Auntie Julie or Uncle
But we
Rob.
Called everybody Auntie and Uncle. And
yeah,
it was quite tricky to work out who actually was our Auntie and Uncle, properly was.
But I used to think that was really lovely because it seems to make you closer to them or sound like you're closer. So I think it's just a habit in a family, is it? Either you do it or you don't.
Yeah.
I think it's really
nice. I still can't bring myself to call your sister's godmother Sue. I still call her Auntie Sue. It's ridiculous.
Is she in her 70s?
Yeah.
Auntie Sue. No, but a Sue should always be an Auntie Sue. Yeah, Auntie that should be a rule.
My favourite was my mother kept in touch with her midwife, who was called Mrs. Fairy. So the woman that delivered me was called Mrs. Fairy.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And
Lucy.
I used to think that I used to get her sort of confused in my head and think she was some sort of fairy godmother.
Oh,
and
she had a
little tiny cottage by the edge of a lake. And we used to go and see her. We used to go and see Mrs. Fairy.
Wow, are you sure it wasn't a dream?
So I know, it seems like that.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I bet she baked cakes.
She did.
Oh.
And the thing I was fascinated by was her husband, who had false teeth that didn't fit very well.
Ooh.
So when he smiled, the teeth would sometimes sort of snap down on their own, and I quite like that. Anyway.
That does sound like a Millie Molly Mandy book or something.
I was wanging on about aphasia last week and being very cynical and saying,
they're
just calling it because of...
Yes, you were being cynical.
Yes, and Sally Kedge has taken me to task. She is speech and language therapy person.
Right.
She said it is not the same as dementia. It's an acquired language impairment which results from brain damage.
Oh, right.
Often occurs post-stroke or might be associated with a brain tumour or other issue.
Oh, interesting. Does it mean that you basically lose the power of speech?
Oh, is that Mummy?
Oh, that's Rex. Don't worry. He's actually looking for the girls. They've gone up to hide from him.
Oh!
I know. It's better if I don't get involved.
Okay. it's heartbreaking!
Well... because my daughter's got her friend over
and
it's just them and Rex. Rex is supposed to be watching telly, but yeah, they've shut the door on him. It's all right. It's good for... Apparently, it's absolutely brilliant for kids just to sort it out amongst themselves without any parental involvement.
And convenient as well as
brilliant. Yeah, very convenient.
She said it's language production or comprehension which has affected the person experience word-finding problems or might have great difficulty making sense of the language others are using. But their other cognitive skills might be unimpaired.
So it's got nothing to do with dementia.
Reading and writing.
Well, then she was blooming well right to bring you up on it.
Yes. Yes.
Because you just thought it was posh dementia.
Yes. I thought it was media dementia.
Media dementia. I'm going to look it up, actually.
She also says, is Nolitando going to take the box from her Auntie Shooter's and help everyone with history? Yes.
Help everyone with history.
Would you like some history? I've got loads.
I love how she was just brought back for the history.
I had no idea she was a teacher.
No, nobody did. Nobody did until 2 weeks ago. And now she's just history.
Yeah.
But I don't care because I like Nolly.
I like her.
So
she's a good actress, isn't she?
She is good. Yeah, she just sounds really normal and doesn't try too hard, does she?
Sophie Peel, who initially sent us that lovely wasabi that we had.
Oh, the wasabi mayonnaise, Lucy.
I know.
I'm sort of waiting for summer to return so I can have, because it's not a very wintry thing, is it? Like salmon, because it's so nice with salmon.
Salmon and new potatoes
and
wasabi mayonnaise.
A joy. But anyway,
she says that she heard Fabrice and his report on the shortage of vegetables.
Oh, yeah.
And says there is no shortage of watercress because it's grown in flowing spring water, even though it's being grown in Spain until the UK season starts in
May. I was about to say I know for a fact because I grew up in watercress country, Lisa. Even though you think I grew up in Hampstead, I actually grew up in watercress territory, and so I know that the season is May.
Yes.
Oh, so we get it from Spain until now.
Yeah. And she said she was trying to work out a way of reminding us about the... How do you say it? Alsford? Alsford Watercress Festival. It's on Sunday, May the 21st.
It is in my diary. It's been in my diary for months. We are definitely... This is our school trip.
Skiing or... Mystique, maybe?
God, it clashes with the Scythe of France.
No. Not ask it again.
Oh, Alsford. Sorry, I thought you meant... Give me something.
Nope, you're on your own.
Can you just cut something in there?
Yes, all right then. It's a completely strange voice.
Alton Towers. Yeah, it's in my diary because we're going on a school trip.
Yes, we are. We are.
Can't wait.
Yes. So
did I tell you I genuinely went on a school trip? One of my first school trips at primary school was to the watercress farm nearby. Fascinating it was. Can't remember anything about it, obviously. But I know that watercress grows in water.
Water. Becky Sheaves also thought Lily was suggesting...
Are we going to meet there then?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Becky Sheaves also thought that Lily was suggesting gay nights at the stables. And then realised that he said game nights.
Well, I mean, honestly, she just...
But I really hope Freddie moves in.
Oh,
it's going to
Lily,
be organised fun, isn't it? There's going
yourself.
To be a rota and a fun.
Oh my god!
Thursdays is fun night. Josh, fun we're not night, allowed Josh. Fun on Wednesdays.
Oh my god.
I'm not being funny, but that was my egg.
The state of the bathrooms.
It's absolutely disgusting. Daniel Millichip says. This week, Adam Automatron Macy realised his own consciousness and became self-aware.
Oh.
It's just strange seeing something written before I was born. What will he make of the Magna Carta, Shakespeare, or anything pre-bloody 1967?
Ah, very good.
My plot prediction must inevitably be, therefore, that the Terminator will be landing in Ambridge shortly for the robot uprising. Chelsea, Linda and Jim must save us all. Ta-ra for now, Daniel.
Good. Oh, hello.
Dear.
Oh.
I tell you what, go up there and say if they play with you, they can have chocolate.
No!
Yeah, wait a second.
They didn't
okay.
say that.
Rexy, run up and say Mummy's going to give them chocolate if they play with you. Okay? Really quick, because I'm nearly finished. Good boy, well done.
Yep, it's all kicking off.
Oh, that was they're not playing nice.
That's the trouble with having a younger sibling, isn't it? Because you have your friends over, obviously your parents are like, you got to play with the little one.
Yeah.
But of course they don't want him ruining their game.
No.
But anyway.
Oh,
not really my
so
problem
sweet,
for the next
though.
2 minutes. Really. No, he is cute. They got such cute voices at that age, haven't they?
Timmy is not playing nice. Do you remember Helen Salim, who's got Naya?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Weren't they our dream family?
Yes.
I got a bit stalky over them, didn't
you
I? I wanted
did?
To move in. Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, she says, I'm thinking about painting at Lower Loxley and its links to slavery. It's such a tricky subject. I'm a white mum of two brown children. My husband is Kenyan and more than likely has relatives who were mistreated at the hands of the British when Kenya was colonised. I've just said colonised. I meant colonised. I've often heard the phrase, it's not enough to not be racist, you have to be anti-racist. Mm. And totally agreed with it, but wondered how to be anti-racist, especially for the sake of my children. She said she thinks it's playing out true to life. She would leave the painting exactly as it is, put a picture or plaque a couple of metres down from it, saying something like, did you notice that? And then with a brief description of what the painting actually showed and how it depicted links to slavery. Then with a paragraph on how we often miss racism going on around us because we're so used to it or because we're not actively looking for it. That way they're not erasing history, but I think it would be a really memorable and challenging way to bring the issue to people's attention.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably obligatory, isn't it, at galleries now? I mean, especially big ones or like the National Trust or anything national with the word national in it. I think it's probably obligatory to have... To
a bit
have,
of an explainer, just to say we are aware of this, we know it's problematic. Here's
yeah,
why.
And to exactly, yeah, exactly, and makes you think. But then that's the thing: is that enough, Lucy?
Well, that's
the question. Yeah. But that's the question, isn't it? So yes, that's you obviously, yeah, though, because that's brilliant, because you know it makes you look again, doesn't it? And relook at that. The relook entirely at the past and things that we never used to think about.
Well, it's reparations rather than flagellation, because flagellation doesn't really get you anywhere unless you're...
No. So, but you put the plaque. But then what do you... But that's the thing, isn't it? Just putting the plaque there, is that enough? I mean, that's what they said, didn't they, this week? But yes, that's very interesting. That's why I really like it, because it's such a current debate. Yeah. And it's really... it's so thought-provoking.
Yes.
And it's good to have that sort of stuff going on in the arches.
Hi. Oh, hello, Rex.
I'm sad.
I know you're sad. Are they not letting you play with them?
Are they not letting you play?
They're not letting me play.
That's very mean.
I'm sad.
Yeah, I can understand that.
But do you think maybe you should watch a bit of telly to cheer you up?
And they want chocolate.
They want chocolate?
They don't want chocolate.
Yeah, and I have a chocolate biscuit.
Oh, good.
Yes, yes. And Lucy's doggy wants a chocolate biscuit too. Say hi, Cooper.
Hi, Cooper.
He wants to come in and see you, Rex. He's bouncing around outside now.
Right, I'm just going to... You go and watch some TV and I'll come in a minute, okay? Good boy. Well done. Sorry about that.
Oh, he's adorable. I am sad.
He loves being sad, though. He loves telling. He loves telling people if he's sad, if he's cold, if he's hungry. Oh, yeah. Just loves.
He basically just likes reporting you to Childline. That's kind of...
Yeah, basically.
I'm neglected.
If only you could hear the news. If only you knew what was going on in the world. No. Yeah. All interesting. Yeah, interesting stuff.
You've completely forgotten what we were just talking about.
Yeah. No, we were talking about the painting.
Yes. Anyway.
And it's very, very BBC as well, isn't it?
It is very BBC. But more measured and not their normal A-level.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Nothing was dictatic or... It was just...
Yeah.
This is a really... That's why it was good, wasn't it?
I don't know what dictatic means, but I like it.
Dictatic. Dictatic.
Yes. Dictatic. Anyway.
Don't be a dick.
Tatic.
Yes,
well, leaving Harriet with her dicticity, let's go over to Radio Borchester.
Oh, God, yeah.
Where Febreze is enjoying a tour of Lower Loxley.
I haven't read the script yet. Is it before or after the painting episode?
It's before.
I'm looking forward to that. So might there have to be an updated version of that sketch as well?
Yes, Chelsea is now the sensitivity coordinator. Can you imagine?
Oh, my God.
Radio Borsetshire. Colin, it is snow again. I do not know where I am. I have taken all my spring jeggings to a dry cleaner, and now I have to get my fur bolero out again, and I think the moths have eaten it. There is chunk taken out of it. Will there be more, Colin? Yes. Snow? Oh, now. Hello, this is me, Fabrizia Felbrisham, looking like I've just stepped out of the salon, because I have. Fabrizia is beginning a new life of culture. No more come dine with me, now is going to be all about university challenges and Lucy Worsley dressing up as the Magna Carta programmes. So today I did you a broadcasting outside at our local site of special historical interest, Lower Loxley. Oh, hello, Chelsea. I forgot you work here moving teabags about. I am looking for my tour guide. I have booked special bespoken tour of Lower Loxley to learn about heritage and history.
I'm actually a highly skilled oratory operative, but today it's me. I'm your bespoke heritage tour guide. Normally, I don't do the whole slave labour thing, but the milk frother's gone out of control in the orangery, so we've all had to move out of range because of health and safety, so I said I'd take you round.
Well, okay. I was worried it would be that man called Cliff with leather elbow, so even though we are deadly competition rivals, I am happy as you. I have done my own work. Graham gave me a book I should read called The Lives of the Chudes, but it was too heavy to lift, so I just watch old box set of Bridgerton instead.
Oh, yeah, we're big on the Chudes at Lower Loxley. Now, if you turn round and look... No, stop. I mean, don't just turn round, because now you're facing the same way again. Turn round and then stop and look behind you. This is the front elevation of Lower Loxley. It was built quite a while back. You could tell that by the beams and the crisscrossy windows. Them little slits in the bit of the top, they was where they fired the arrows through.
The Chudes? Who were they firing the arrows at?
The Cavaliers? Or the Roundabouts? Well, one of them lot from the English Civil War, I bet. We had that reenactment lot there the other week, reenacted all over the place, fires everywhere and people hammering metal and making funny bread. It was all going well until Oliver Cromwell backed his courser into the Portaloos. Right, let us move inside to further explore the secret life of Lower Loxley. Cliff said I had to do it like that, like I was some sort of teachery ghost, but it just sounds like I need a poo.
Oh my God, look at these pictures. Look at that woman in blue hat. She looked like John Prescott. She have skinny little dog with her and he look frightened. I don't blame him. I think he thinks she might eat him.
Welcome to the baronial hall. This is where all the banquets will be held and we have replicated this for our visitors, but please do not try and eat the baked meats as they are Play-Doh covered in emulsion. So, in the olden days, Lady Fanny Pargeter would sit at this end of the table and shout her head off down the other end to her beloved husband, Lord Francis. What's going on up your end, Fanny? He would shout.
This do not look much like Bridgerton. It is very cold, for starter. No one has big cleavage or lip gloss. All pictures are of ugly faces with little squinty eye, and I have not seen one pair of straining breeches. Bridgerton is always straining breeches. If people are not falling out of their tops, they are popping out of their bottoms.
I know. Disappointing, isn't it? I thought this would be a right laugh working here, all Downton Abbey and that, but it's just Freddy wafting around whinging and me and Grundy changing all the signs round. I don't know why she does that. She's obsessed. So, do you want the rest of the tour then or what?
I don't think so. Unless it gets a lot more exciting.
I suggested we ran a zip wire off the roof, but for some reason Elizabeth didn't go for it. So, no, it doesn't.
Okay, let's see if Orangey is open again. Then we can have some heritage hot chocolate and the Victorian sponge instead. I cannot do any more history. I am exhausted. So, thank you to me and to Chelsea Horrible, who I must say was very good tour guide and should stick to that and not try and be hairdresser. That is my toppy history tip. Bye!
Radio Borsetshire.
Can you do this last bit? Because my voice
yes,
is
going. Yes, of course, my dear. Sorry, one sec. If you would like to visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the Couch, you can support us at any subscription level. Can I say hi to one of our newest Patreons, Lucy?
Yes, I knew you'd start milking it. Yes.
No, I know, because I've got such a lovely friend who listens, and he's called Shash. And if you're listening, Shash, you have to text me to prove that you actually are listening. No. I just want to say hi and thank you for listening.
He's just Patreoned us to shut me up going on about it.
So nice.
God, if I was Patreon, she'll stop asking me if I listened. God.
And another lovely friend, Teresa, said she might tune in to
Hello,
this episode.
Teresa.
So if she's listening.
You're very kind.
Very, very kind. What did I say to Rufus the other day? I said something like, I said something like, I'm not even going to say because he was so rude. Anyway, he was so rude about how many people listen to the show, Lucy.
Really?
He was making a sort of, what's the word? Facetious joke.
All right. Well, we're not Ant and Dec. Fair enough.
I know, exactly. But we have thousands and thousands of listeners.
15,000.
And I was like just nonchalant. I mean, I hardly ever do at least. But occasionally I check the Chartable charts. Mm. We're always in there.
Yes,
just our little picture of a pig and a sheep.
Yeah.
Always in there. Yeah. Anyway, so thank you so much. Thank you very much, listeners. And Patreons, thank you so much for Patreoning us. Look up Ambridge on the Couch and you can support us at any subscription level. You can find us on Facebook, we think, on Twitter at on Ambridge. I don't know if anyone's across the Facebook stuff. Febreze is at Fabulous Febreze. Or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com. That's ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
Now, this is from Matt. And he said he could not find a link. I can find a link, actually.
He's running out of links.
I know. Do you remember a song called Perhaps, Perhaps, Perhaps? Doris Day.
Perhaps, perhaps, perhaps.
Well, yeah. This is his version of that.
Oh, I like that he's going into sort of songs rather than TV shows.
I think it's because of everybody changing their minds about everything. Kate saying she's going to leave... spiritual hummus. Adam saying, right, that's it, I'm putting the letter in the bin. No, I've got the letter out of the bin. I'm not interested in Paddy Redmayne. Yes, I want to look up Eddie Redmayne. So, yes.
Eddie Redmayne and Paddy O'Connor, is it, the one on Broadcasting House? who, if anybody can get us a mention on Broadcasting House, I actually might die and go to heaven. Because I love Paddy from Broadcasting. Do you listen to it, BH?
No. I know JP.
You don't listen to Broadcasting House on Sundays?
No.
9 to 10?
Yeah, I know when it's on. I don't.
It's the only news I listen to, really.
Okay, that explains it.
Because I love Paddy. I love him.
Okay.
And if anyone can get us a mention on that,
I keep talking to JP about us and saying.
Which JP? Oh, that JP. Which JP?
He's called.
Oh, JP Devlin.
Yeah.
A famous person.
Yeah, and saying, we could be on talking about the Archers, and I've tried to every link I could possibly think of. To no avail, Harriet.
Anyway, well, we want to be on more things, thanks.
Yes, well, now
you'd be really good, Lucy, actually. As a guest, you'd be brilliant because you can chat about anything.
Would you not?
No, I'd be awful. I'd just go red and just giggle and be really annoying.
Just put Rex on, he can just.
I'm sad. Yeah, I'll just go on there and go, I'm sad. If you don't listen, I'll be sad.
Can I have a chocolate biscuit?
No, I'd be dreadful, but you'd be an absolutely brilliant guest.
Well, thank you. You're only saying that because I'm poorly sick and you're trying to make
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it because you're fabulous, as I was saying to my friends this week, fabulous broadcaster, Lucy.
Really?
Broadcaster, writer, comedian, all round.
Who is this?
Invalid.
What have you done with Harriet Carmichael? Release her. Is this some sort of kidnap attempt? What's the code word?
I'm buttering you up.
That's what I'm worried about. What for? Anyway. Shall I now?
Back to Matt. Yeah.
Yes, so this is Perhaps, Perhaps, Perhaps.
Brilliant.
Via the Archers. And I'm not going to talk after it because I need to go and have some more lemsip and a lie
but
down.
You've been so brilliant during the podcast, I forgot you were ill. So get well soon.
I perked
go and have
up.
A sleep.
I had a lot of whiskey in that cup, I think.
Oh, good.
Quite nice.
Oh, and you and your day nurses.
Yeah. Me two day nurses and
Sharon and Margaret.
Down very well.
Good.
Right, go to press it. No, and give Rexy a big cuddle from me.
Oh, I will do. And one for Cooper.
Thank you very much.
And to William.
Yes, I think Cooper's
around.
More smelly than Rex, but anyway. Okay, I will press play.
Get well soon. Bye.
Now, bye. Thank you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.